North Coast, my name is Kristen Lascola. I'm one of the pastors at our Fallbrook campus. Thanks for joining us for the Daily Dose. I have a five-year-old daughter, and a couple years ago, she had these two sisters over to play, and she was so excited all day to play with them. And they came over, and we had this circus tent that we had bought her, and she was so excited to show them. And so the girls go in the tent, the two sisters, and my daughter goes in after them, and then they say, "Hey, there's not enough room for three in the tent, only two." And my daughter looked at me and I said, So she comes out and I said, "Just wait a minute." So she tries again a few minutes later, to which they say, "There's only enough room for two in the tent, not three." So my daughter is pretty discouraged at this point. So I do what any good mom does and I fix it with a snack. So some Goldfish crackers do wonders for a three-year-old. And the two girls hear the bag and they hear the crackers and they hear the crunch and they want to know. And so they come out and they see her with the snack and they say, "Can we have some?" They put their hands out and she gives them some Goldfish and she has some, gives them some more, she has some. Well, eventually the Goldfish run out. And the second the Goldfish are out, the two sisters go back in the tent. And my daughter tries again to go in after them and they say, "There's only enough room for two in the tent, not three." And I said, "All right, it's time to do something else, I think." But what that reminded me of is one of my favorite hidden gems in the Bible, and it centers around this guy named Simon, and he's not known as Simon the Sorcerer, and I start to think like the original Harry Potter back from Bible times. And Simon had this great following, he had this one-man show, this one-man business, and enamored the people of Samaria with his magic and his signs and his wonders, and they thought this man was this great power of God because of what he could do. But then the real power of God shows up into his town through the apostles. And the apostles are going around through Samaria and they're preaching the word, they're baptizing people, and Simon is watching the whole thing unfold and seeing the power of the Holy Spirit enter the city of Samaria. And in Acts 8, verse 18, it says, "Now when Simon saw the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.'" And at first, this doesn't seem like a bad request. He's recognizing the power of the Holy Spirit, but Peter sees right through this because Simon is looking at this as a business move of taking a show now to Simon 2.0. And Peter says to him, "May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no portion in this matter. Your heart is not right before God." And we see Simon maybe making a stride toward God, but Peter seeing the true motivation of his heart. And he wanted to harness the power of the Holy Spirit for his own personal gain, not as a power to be submitted to, but as a power to submit to himself for what he could do to possibly make some more money with his show, Simon 2.0. And I want to contrast that with a guy in 2 Chronicles, and his name is Josiah, and he's a really, really young king. And his father was a super evil king whose own subjects rose up and murdered him. And so this 8-year-old boy becomes king. And the Bible says 8 years into his reign, which now he's 16 years old, he does something amazing. It says, "And he did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David and did not turn aside from to the right or to the left. While he was still a youth, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the ashram, the carved images, and the molten images." His story is in 2 Chronicles 34, and we see Josiah, a young king, purging his city of anything that is not God-honoring. But the thing I love the most about it is that nothing prompted it. There was no crisis, there was no famine, there was no war. He sought God because he knew God was worth seeking and worth obeying simply because of who God is. So my question for you today is, are you a God seeker or a God user? Are you a Simon who looks to the power of God for what it can do for you, being your ripcord in life of, "Hey, when I can't handle it, when I need self-improvement, when I need something, I go to God," but you're silent the rest of the time? Or are you a Josiah who seeks God simply because God is worth seeking? And the word there is only. We seek God when we need help. Absolutely. The Bible's clear about that. But is that the only time you're seeking God?